Galatians 3:6, the Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Father, just come to you tonight asking you to help. Give us this understanding, Lord, of the promise of redemption through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to understand it, that it has nothing to do with the works of the flesh. Lord, we've been hitting on this week after week as we've looked in Galatians. Lord, it's a truth you want us to understand because so many people get sidetracked on this. And they get messed up and they get taught false doctrine. And they're confused and they're preaching a work salvation. And God, that's what happened to these believers here in Galatia. They were led astray. And God, it could have affected the next generation, Lord, but you saw fit to have this letter written, God, and help us to learn from it and to apply these truths to our lives and as we teach others and get us grounded in the truth of the gospel, please. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're looking tonight at being purchased from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is something that we were all under. You know, we're essentially in an impossible situation. Have you in your own life ever faced an impossible situation you saw no way out of? You didn't know how you were going to get beyond this? You know, if you look at this, every child born today is born into a situation just like that. They're in an impossible situation that they cannot possibly get themselves out of. According to usdebtclock.org, every child who is born in America is now born owing $43,186. Every child born in America is born owing $43,000-something. The moment they're born, they're that far in debt. Why? Because of our national debt. There's no way a newborn could pay off that debt. That's impossible. It can't happen. That's their share of the $13 trillion debt that our country owes. That's a perfect description, though, of how possible it is for us to earn our salvation by keeping the law. You say a baby could never do that. They could never earn $43,000 to pay off that debt. It could never happen. Why? Because a baby can't work. They can't do anything. They're completely dependent on somebody else to take care of every single thing for them. It's impossible for them to do it. Just like it's impossible for us to earn our own salvation. It's impossible. We can't do it. There's no way it could happen. It's way beyond our means. We couldn't do it in a million years. Why? Because we're under the curse of the law. Would you let someone deceive you into something that's impossible for you to do? It happens all the time. Christians are led astray in this. I'm talking about saved people. The book of Galatians is written to saved people. Some of them may have been lost, but for the most part it was saved people. And they were led astray. Someone deceived them. We talked about that. Paul said, who hath bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Christ hath been evidently set before you, crucified among you. Who bewitched you? Somebody tricked you. Somebody deceived you. Would you let someone lead you astray like that? Lead you into a work salvation? Just on the drive down here, it amazes me as we've started this study in Galatians, all the things that I've seen, the different false cults and false teachings that are out there in regards to salvation since we've started studying this. And it all revolves around one thing, a works salvation, a works-based salvation. Just driving down here now, down 98th Street, I believe right about, just a little bit past Sage, a little farther south of Sage right there, Cartagena, right around there. I look up and I see a homemade sign just made out of spray paint. It said, want to avoid hell? Is that what it said, want to avoid hell? Sounds good. Yes, we want to avoid hell. Then what did it say after that? Stop sinning, obey Jesus. That's what it said. I was going to mix them up. It said, stop sinning, obey Jesus. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? We should stop sinning. Not to avoid hell, though. You can't do it. You can't stop sinning. If you want to, you couldn't do it. Obeying Jesus is great, but not to earn salvation. I mean, that's exactly what's being discussed right here. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. If you want to be under the works of the law, you're under a curse. Verse 10 says, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed every man that doesn't continue in everything that's in the law. Everything. Continue in all things. Not some, not most, not 99%, all things. You can't do it. It's impossible. Would you let someone deceive you into believing that? Thank God that Jesus paid the debt that we owe, that we could not pay. Jesus Christ paid it for us. He purchased us from the curse of the law so we could experience the blessings of Abraham. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Praise God for that. You can say amen right there. That's good. Amen. So what can we learn from Abraham's life? He's an example of the only way we can receive righteousness. He lays down that example for us. That many thousands of years ago, Abraham lays down the example of the only way we can receive righteousness. Galatians 3, look at verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did he do? He received it by believing God. That's how he received that righteousness that we need, by believing God. It's that simple. That's the good news of the gospel. It is that simple. It's that easy. And we want to muddle it up, and people want to muddle it up by saying, stop sinning, obey Jesus. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what His Word says. He says, you fools, who hath bewitched you that you should believe a lie? Abraham's the example for us. It says of him that Abraham believed God, and his belief is what accounted it to him for righteousness. What that verse is talking about right there in verse 6, it's talking about imputation. It's a word that is used in the Bible. It's a Bible word. It's in there. But what it means is to put on someone's account, to reckon, to lay to one's charge. So what happens? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What? It what? His belief was accounted to him for righteousness. It was placed on his account. Righteousness was put on Abraham's account because of his belief, because he believed God. There was a transaction that took place. It was placed on his account. It was reckoned to him. It was laid on his charge. That's what verse 6 is talking about. His belief allowed the righteousness of God to be placed on top of him. That's salvation. It's imputation. By the way, that works in reverse for us, and thank God that it does, because our sin was placed on Jesus Christ. He took our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. What is that? Our sin being put on him. Why? So we could get his righteousness. So his righteousness could be placed on us. That's imputation. Christ took our sin. When we believe on him, we get his righteousness. That's how we get his righteousness. Not by keeping the works of the law. It won't happen. It's an impossible task for us to try and keep. Romans 4:6 says this, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. How? Without works. He imputes that righteousness. He puts that righteousness on a man without works. It's apart from works. Our believing places the righteousness of God on our account. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. You see, it's the belief. And that's what Galatians chapter 3 verse 6 says. As Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's that example for us. Our believing places us in the family of God. Look at verse 7. I mean, the blessings just keep getting better and better. Abraham's just showing us some things right here. He says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham." See, when we believe, we're put into the family of God. We become, it says right here, the children of Abraham. John 1:12 talks about as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's what does it. We receive Christ. How? By believing. By believing. Turning to Him, trusting Him, trusting His death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 26 of the same chapter there in Galatians 3 says, "Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." How? By faith. None of this is works. Not any bit of it. Not any bit. Don't let anyone pull you away from believing that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Don't ever let anyone deceive you into thinking that. Because it's not. This book is written to refute that. The Jews thought they were superior because of their lineage to Abraham. That's what they thought. Verse 7 says that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How? Through faith. Our faith in God, our believing God, is what puts us in the family of God. The same are the children of Abraham, we're told. But the Jews thought that they were superior because of their bloodline going back to Abraham. They were not born of fornication. We're Abraham's seed. Turn to John 8:39 if you would. John chapter 8, verse 39. John 8:39, this is Jesus and the Pharisees are having it out. It says, "They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." He says, "Oh, Abraham's our father. We got a lineage with him. He's our father. That's why we're righteous. That's what's so great about us, because, hey, my daddy was a preacher. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm a Christian." I've heard that I don't know how many times. I've heard that so many times. "Oh, my grandpa was a preacher." Okay, are you going to go to heaven or hell? Have you been born again? It doesn't matter what your lineage is. It doesn't matter who you know. See, it's our faith that puts us in the family of God. It says there that they were trusting that Abraham was their father, meaning they were descendants of Abraham. But Jesus says something to them. If ye were Abraham's children, so if you were saved, if you were part of the family of God, what does He say? He would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed God. He trusted God. He followed God. He listened to God's word. They're not doing that. They're not obeying God's word. They're not living for God. Hey, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What does Jesus say? I mean, He's got some harsh rebuke for them. What does He say of them then? If they're not Abraham's children, whose children are they? Look at verse 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil." The devil. That's it. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. See, before you were saved, guess what? Child of the devil. Because if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You say, "Preacher, I thought you said that it's without works, that it's just by believing." It is. But a child of Abraham, one who's part of the family of God, Jesus said, will do the works of Abraham. See, a working faith, a real faith, a supernatural faith that has changed us. See, God saves us completely by belief. And as a result of that, I follow God. I obey God. Does that make me saved, that I'm obeying God? No. I'm doing that as a result of being saved. There's a big difference. I hope we understand that. I've taught on that extensively this last series we went through on Sunday mornings. So our belief is what places us in the family of God. The Jews thought they were superior just because of their bloodline, their lineage with Abraham. But God puts us all on the same ground as Abraham by our mutual faith in God's promise. That's what it is. That's what distinguishes. That's what makes the difference. Have you believed God just like Abraham did? Because they which are of faith, not they which are of works, but they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's what puts us in the family of God. Our faith gives the same blessings that Abraham receives. Look at verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We get the same blessings he gets. Amen. Whatever Abraham got, we get. The same walk that Abraham had with God, we can have that same walk. Why? Through our faith. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. These promised blessings came through the Word of God. Verse 8 says, The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, He preached that good news unto Abraham. What is that? That good news, that salvation by faith. That's the good news. And we get the blessings that faithful Abraham got. Because of his faith, he was faithful. You see that? So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It said in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, what if that's... see if I can... That's quoting Genesis 15:6. That Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, his trust in God, he believed God. And that's what gave him that righteousness. And if we're of that same faith, believing God, trusting God, looking to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that good news that God offers, the eternal redemption for us, then we're blessed with faithful Abraham. We have those same blessings. Why? Because we're both on level ground. We're on the same ground. We're coming to God the same way. It doesn't matter your lineage. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. You might say, my family's nothing special. Hey, either's mine. Amen. But I can come to God the same way. And God makes access for me just the same. And it's open to anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter what country you were born in. It's available to anyone and everyone. Any bum you see out on the street. Any rich person you see out on the street. It's available to anyone if they'll just accept it. All they've got to do is turn to the Savior and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection to forgive their sin. It's open to anyone. You don't have to work for it. Matter of fact, if you try to work for it, you can't get it. Under the works of the law, we're only left cursed. That's all the law can do is curse us. Look at verse 10. You got so many people out there preaching a work salvation. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this in order for you to be saved. The Bible says something different. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you don't keep all of it, you're cursed. If you're trying to keep the works of the law for your salvation. If you're trying to keep the works of the law to stay saved. Some people, we looked at that last week, they're going to say, oh, well, you get saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but then you better keep these works of the law so you can maintain your salvation. It's not that either. It's either I have eternal life or I don't. And if I have it, the fruit will be there. God's work will be evident in my life. But it's not me trying to, well, I got to make sure I do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I do this, so I can keep my salvation. That's not it. That's not it at all. If you're trying to do that, as verse 10 says, you're cursed if you continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You better keep them all. That's a high standard. Guess who can't meet it? Nobody in here. And nobody out there either. None of us can meet that standard. If you want to be under the law, you have to keep all of it. The Judaizers, which were coming into this church, the Seventh-day Adventists, they don't tell people as they preach this false gospel what's really involved in keeping the whole law. You got the Seventh-day Adventists. Obviously, they get their name because they push the seventh day, the Sabbath, okay? They say, oh, we keep all the Ten Commandments, liar. No, you don't. You don't even do that. You don't even do that. If you look with lust, you're an adulterer. Don't lie to me. You don't keep all the Ten Commandments. But they'll try and be real sarcastic with you. They say, oh, we believe all the Ten Commandments. I do too. Amen. But I don't have to keep the Sabbath day. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my Sabbath rest. I rest in Him. He did all the work that's needed. I don't have to earn my salvation. It's in Him. But they're going to tell you, oh, you've got to keep the commandments of God. Do you? The Judaizers, same thing. Oh, you got to be circumcised. Better be circumcised. You can't be saved. Got to become a Jew first. But they don't tell them what's involved in keeping the whole law. Deuteronomy 27, 26 says this, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen." You got to confirm, you're cursed if you don't confirm not all the words of this law to do them, all of them. Deuteronomy 28, 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." It said all of them. If you don't, these curses are going to come upon you. You can go back and you can read through Deuteronomy chapter 27 and chapter 28 to see the curses. But I'm telling you, the curses that are given in Deuteronomy 28 truly have been fulfilled on the Jews to this day. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You can look at the history of the Jews. Almost every nation has risen up against the Jews and persecuted them in some way, shape, or form. There's a hatred in this world for God's chosen people, for the Jews. There's a supernatural, if you will, hatred towards those people. And it's all culminating. It's going to happen again during the tribulation when their focus is back on them. That time of Jacob's trouble, when the world and Satan looks back at the nation of Israel. It's called Jacob's trouble for a reason. Daniel's 70th week, where they're going to go back and look and focus on the children of Israel, on the Jews. Even as Paul wrote Galatians, the Judaizers were living under a foreign power, the Roman government. That because they didn't do what God said, because they'd forsaken God, because they didn't keep all the commandments, this came upon them. And they're under foreign rule. Practically today, think about it. How would Jews keep the Sabbath in modern times? How could they do it? Seventh-day Adventists, same thing. What if there's a sewage backup for the city? Who's going to work on that? You want sewage spilling out all over the city? There's a sewage backup coming into every house? Think about it. That stuff happens and we don't even know about it. Yeah. My brother-in-law, he works for the city. He's on call all the time. He gets called out all the time. He runs some of the sewage pumps that are around the city. And there's one down by our house. He'll get called out all the time. He's got to go check. Something went out. Well, you better take care of that quick or there's going to be some real problems. Someone's got to do it. What if that happens on a Sabbath? What are the Jews going to say? Uh-uh. See, what do they do? How do they get around it today in Jerusalem? Well, they get the non-religious Jews to take care of it for the religious Jews, and they're content with that. You break the Sabbath, not us. Somebody's breaking the Sabbath! There's a problem. How about police forces? What do they do there? Police is working 24/7. On the Sabbath, even. About in the middle of the winter. Got these Seventh-day Adventists. What if you live up north where it'll get like 45 below zero? You got a wood-burning stove as the only heat source for your home. Exodus 35:3, "Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." Uh-oh, you're in trouble. What do you do? What are you going to do? Say you got a furnace. You're like, okay, I don't have to worry about that. I just set the thermostat on my furnace and it's taken care of. What if that breaks on the Sabbath day? You can do anything to fix it? You can let your family freeze. I mean, that's cold like we don't even know. That's cold. We don't even understand down here. And it gets cold down here. I remember a few years back, maybe 5 years ago or so, I was working out at the airport and it was with the wind chill and everything. I think it was like 8 or 10 below. I mean, it was absolutely freezing. Where it hurts. You don't even want your skin to feel any of that. It would hurt so bad. And they live like that all the time. What do you do when the furnace goes out? Seventh-day Adventists, huh? And keep all the Ten Commandments or all the commandments that are there? You're not going to mix material, cotton, with some other form of material on your clothing? And we're going to keep all these commandments? Under the law, all it can do is leave us cursed. The good news is that God won't look to the law for justification. Thank God for that. See, that's why Paul starts this letter off, Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What does that mean? Let him go to hell if he's going to preach a damnable false gospel. It's that serious in God's eyes. God doesn't look to the law for justification. Verse 11, Galatians 3, he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. God doesn't even look at the law. Why? Because all the law does is condemn you and leave you cursed. That's why he doesn't even look to the law for justification. It is evident. Why? For the just shall live by faith. That's how salvation comes. That's the example Abraham laid down for us. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We won't stand at man's judgment, but at God's. And it's in the sight of God that we have to be concerned with. The law can never justify. Verse 12 says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. See, it's not of faith, and the just shall live by faith, so it cannot justify me because it's not of faith. It's of sight. It's what you can see. It's what you can do. That's what it's teaching. Do, 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 do. And it's not about that. The law can only tell you to do something. We can't even live in the commandments if we tried. James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all of it. See, this is the problems that the Pharisees has. They didn't see themselves as sinners. They didn't see themselves as internally being wicked. They outwardly looked the part, and Jesus rebuked them for that. He said, you're whited sepulchres, you're dirty cups on the inside, but on the outside you're clean. Everyone looked at them and thought, that's what we should be, that's what we need to be. And how many people are there like that in churches who are the same thing? They're religious, but they're lost. They look the part on the outside. I mean, they wear a suit and tie to church. They got the right haircut and all these other things that they need. They say the right words, but on the inside they're filthy. And God could see that in them, and He knew that. He said, you hypocrites. Outside, it looked like they were doing everything they needed to, but Jesus went and hit them harder. You know, He says, you don't honor your parents. You don't honor them and trying to rip them off by saying you're giving this gift as an offering to God, all these extra rules and traditions that they'd given. He said, you're not honoring your parents in that. You're looking with lust, you're an adulterer. They said, I've never done that. That reminds me of the story where they bring the woman caught in the act of adultery. It's funny, they just got the woman, but the guy got away that quick or what? And how'd they even know where to find him? Likely it was one of them. How come they didn't both get brought before Jesus? They just brought the woman. Hatred, having hatred in our hearts, considered murder. They were hypocrites. They were fake. They looked like something they were not. And they deceived others, but they did not deceive God. See, you keep the whole law and you offend in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Doesn't matter. Lots of people think, I'm not a murderer. I'm not bad. There's worse people than me. But are you a liar? You're guilty of all of it. They don't want to see that. They don't want to accept that. That's the truth, though. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The law is only going to condemn us. It's not of faith. You want to do the law, you want to keep the law, the man that doeth them shall live in them. You better keep them all. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law is for. It's to shut your mouth so you'll stop justifying yourself and so you'll realize you're guilty before God. It's to show you your guilt. But thank God that Christ Himself purchased our redemption from the curse. He did what we could not. What all the works in the world could not do. What us trying our very best. And I'm not saying there's not sincere people out there. There are some sincere people out there who are absolutely 100% misled and on their way to hell. And they believe what they're doing is right. And they grew up thinking this, and they grew up being taught this, and they go to places like Chimayo, and they're going to go and get this holy dirt, and they're going to say their rosaries, and they're going to do all these things, and they're going to crawl around on their knees, and they're going to whip their backs, and they're going to do all these religious things, and they're going to go blow themselves up so they can follow after their religion and get 7,000 virgins or whatever it is when they get to heaven. They're going to do these things being sincere. and be wrong and go to hell. Because it's not about do, do, do. It's already been done. Jesus Christ purchased it. His sinless life purchased us from the curse. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If any of your good works could do it, then why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? Why would God do that if our good works could get it done? That makes no sense. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It says, it uses that word redeemed right there. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redeem or redemption means bought and released, describing the act of buying a slave from the market in order to give him freedom. We're a slave bought out of the slave market of sin, and God has given us freedom. We can walk in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. God offers us that liberty. That's what Jesus Christ does. That's why he says the truth shall make you free. Once we know the truth, that it's not about my works, I'm not stuck in that bondage to have to do this and have to do this and have to do this. It's that Jesus Christ did it all, and it's the amazing difference that he makes once he's in me. I just read just recently, one of my preacher friends on Facebook put up a little poem or something. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Talks about, though, this young kid. He's talking to, he's in Sunday school, and he's hearing the message, and he goes home and he talks to his dad about it, or his grandpa or something, and he says to his dad, he's like, Dad, you know, my teacher said today that God is bigger than the earth, and he's bigger than the universe. And the dad's like, that's right, son, God's bigger than anything you can imagine. And he says, well, my Sunday school teacher said that we need to ask Jesus to come live inside of us to forgive us. And he says, that's right, son, you do need to do that. And he says, well, if I did that, wouldn't he be sticking out of me somewhere if he's that big? Right? You could picture a kid saying something like that, because that's just how they think. He'd be sticking out of me somewhere, wouldn't he, if I had him inside of me? Amen. Amen. See, I don't believe something as big as God comes inside of you and nothing happens. I don't believe it. I think if God comes inside of you and he lives inside of you because you've been born again, he's going to stick out somewhere. He's going to make a change somewhere. Christ hath redeemed us. He did all the works that were needed. We just benefit from it. He bought us from the slave market in order to release us to liberty. I'm not in bondage anymore. I don't have to do those things in order to earn my salvation. Now I do them because I'll gladly serve my Savior. That's why now. That's why I go soul winning, not because I have to. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. I want other people to know. I preach the Word of God because I want to. Yes, God called me, but I don't have to. I could have said no, but I want to. He's my Savior. We're bought and released. Christ had to become what we were. It says he became a curse for us. That was us. We were cursed. We were condemned under the law. Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's wrath abides on us. Jesus Christ took that for us when he went to the cross. He became a curse for us. A man hanging from a tree was accursed of God and defiled the land. You know, that's what it's talking about right here. It says that he became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's talking about Deuteronomy 21:23. It says, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled. Someone hanging is accursed of God, and that's what Jesus Christ was. We see some examples of this in the Bible. Ahithophel, who rebelled against King David, was hung. And that's how he died. Absalom, King David's son, who rebelled against his father, hung. Judas hung himself, accursed of God. It's a curse to be hanging on a tree, and that's what Christ did for us. He was made a curse for us. Why would he do that? Why would God be a curse for us? Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's why God did it. So the blessings of Abraham would come on us so we could receive those blessings. God wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. He wants to give us these things. The blessing of Abraham is salvation by faith, available now to Jew and Gentile alike. We both come to Him the same way, and we get the promise of the Spirit. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith at the end of verse 14. We get the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit living inside of us. God now lives inside of us. Like that little boy said, well, isn't He going to, something big as God comes in, won't He be sticking out? Yes, He's the indwelling Spirit living inside of us now. We get the seal of the Spirit. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The earnest of the Spirit. He's that down payment on us. He's coming back. He says, you're mine now. I purchased you. Why? Because we're redeemed. And we get the filling of the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit makes it possible to serve God confidently. How can you serve God confidently if you don't have that seal of the Spirit? It's hard to do if you don't have that. Why would we seek after something that's only going to leave us cursed? Meaning the works of the law. Why would we do that if it's only going to leave us cursed? Isn't that what the Bible says? Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You think you can meet that standard? You think you can do all those things? What a burden that's lifted when you're trying and you're working for your salvation, and whoever made that sign that's out there on the road over there on 98, what a burden that's on their shoulders that they'll never get off. They're going to do all those things. They're going to think, hey, I'm going to stop sinning, which you can't. I'm going to obey Jesus, which you can't fully, and they're still going to go to hell. What a harsh, rude awakening when they open their eyes in hell 1 second after death. And they've been deceived. Don't let that happen to us, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth. See, we know the truth. We should know the truth. We should be grounded in the truth. Why? So we could help someone like the person that wrote that sign. That's what we need to do. It's not about what we can do. It's about what Christ already did when He died on the cross. Many try to bring others into subjection to a standard they themselves can't keep. That person can't stop sinning. But they're going to try and bring you under that standard. The only power that the law has is to condemn you. Christ was the purchaser of our salvation. Can we see that? Some of you say, I already know this. I get this. Can you defend it then? Could you defend it to someone who's teaching a work salvation? Could you show them from the Word of God? See, that's sometimes the problem, is we say, well, I know this. I believe it. Could you teach it to someone else? Could you defend these truths to someone else? To a heretic? Someone who doesn't believe it? Could you show them? Say, well, I know that salvation's by faith. Why? How can you turn someone from the error of their way when they're believing a false gospel? All our blessings that we have are bound up in Christ and Him alone. It says there, the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's all in Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through my good works. It's not through my good deeds, but through Christ.